To be about. I am joined as always by my friends, Chris and Allison. You can find them on the internet. It's linked somewhere. If you're at this podcast, you know how to find us. Balderdash, but podcast form. That's the Cliff Notes. Let's just get to it.
That was quick. That was efficient.
That's how I roll these days. Efficiency.
I was going to talk about this at the end, but maybe I don't want to. I've had this email sitting in my inbox for a long time because it is a comment that I haven't approved yet on episode 1101011, Embouchure.
Oh, yeah. Who could forget?
And the comment, much like all of our comments and all of our feedback, is irrelevant and probably spam. But I wanted to just, you know, call it out because it is a comment. And so those people, even though they are giving us spam and we're going to delete it, still deserve to be heard. So I suppose since I have a plan for the end of the show, we could sort of front load the show with this comment from Sarah Michalak, I guess. Michalak. And it's at timestamp 024.
Wow. So way back in
it's a timestamp, it's timestamped, so 24 seconds into the episode. Sarah writes the highly relevant comment, the recent situation that's happening in the world has changed our lifestyle, and we really need to learn how to earn.
Was that two words? Lifestyle? Yes. Is that why you broke it like that? Yes. I really appreciate that. That was so effective.
We really need to learn how to earn money online. What if you want to set up? What if you want to set up your own business? But you don't know how. Don't is actually, I'll since we're doing, it's actually don't, because there's no apostrophe. So what if you don't know how? I recommend you this guy. He will set up you auto profit site with done for you 6,000 monthly income. It is a ready-made website with content, connected offers, digital products, Google advertisement, Amazon advertisement, and 1 month connected traffic of visitors. Managing it wisely, you earn $6K monthly and your expenses will be $1,950 for the installation and $600 to $700 for traffic, which you need to send monthly. Speaking about traffic, you will not need to worry about this as we usually send this amount and we continue maintaining it. It is not the system that you just press the button and here is the money, as you will need to manage it. But if you follow our instructions, the income is guaranteed. And then there's a WhatsApp number.
That's unfortunate, because I'm looking for the system that you push the button and just get the money.
Yeah,
we're almost
agree.
There. Yeah. Is this the new version of like the Nigerian prince scam?
What are you talking about? Different. I sent all my money to the Nigerian prince.
This feels different than Nigerian prince.
Does it?
Yeah.
Like, here's
it
a bunch of money.
It doesn't feel helpful.
Well, I mean, I guess you are sending off money, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Send us money, and
we'll
get more money
in return.
Like, it's just a
yeah.
But Nigerian prince is like also pinging into your like
But I feel like there's actually a traffic harvesting. Like I feel like there's actually a thing here. Like, I don't think it's just enough money. Like, I don't think it's just like Nigerian Prince is all about you just send off money to these people and you just nothing. That's just you're just giving them money because with a promise of getting a million or 2 million or however.
Yeah.
This feels like there's actually some sort of like spam bot sort of component where like you actually are maintaining a website that they're feeding traffic into and that it is generating revenue of which maybe you'll get a portion, but you're doing that. You actually do have a thing.
We but are
only
all
if, I notice only if you follow protocol, which I bet is right. Very difficult to do.
Well, if you don't,
we all do have a soft spot in our cold little hearts for bots. So.
I mean, that's the thing is if you don't follow protocol, they still get their money. You don't get any money and they're not out anything because they told you this is what you're supposed to do. You don't just press the button and it works. Anyway, that was stupid. But I now feel happy about deleting that email because I didn't want to delete it without like bringing it to the show. And it's been sitting there for like a month. So,
what happened? Like, seriously, like, how would that, like, read the opening line again.
Oh, God.
Just the opening sentence.
Let's see. Let me go back. Too many trash.
These, with all that is going on in the world. Busher.
Yeah, that, it was something like that. Like, I feel like that could have come in, like, they've been using that message for a while.
The recent situation happening in the world has changed our life style. And we really need to learn how to do money. Earn money online.
Yeah. I feel like
that's 2020
sentence,
right there. That's just the whole year. The whole year.
The next conversation I have with a potential client, I'm just like, well, I like to do earn money. could you
the
do
recent
pay
situation
me?
In the world has online. Affected my lifestyle.
Style.
Yeah. I need to do earn money. Yeah. Oh. What
now that's out of the way.
So I know last week was the first episode of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great episode, but I don't feel like 2021 really backed us up so far. Can we maybe like just say that season three starts sometime in February, kind of put the brakes on this season three thing, just call this like extra innings for season two, just in case.
We just keep starting the season over.
Yeah, I mean, we could from a technical standpoint. It hasn't actually gone out yet as of when we're recording this, but I don't know if there's any like functional difference between like in just moving it to next month.
That's true.
It's an arbitrary delineator anyway. We could just have one season.
I know, but God,
episodes.
It just hurts to start
also,
this year.
Also, you don't
year.
Listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
So. What is today? Matter? That's a valid point. We're 14 just days stop, in and it just feels like that just keeps coming, doesn't it? Like,
well, it doesn't.
When is Lunar New Year?
Things were going to change on January 1st.
I know. And I said that. I know. I'm very aware of that. And I agree. But
and things aren't even going to change on January 20th.
I know.
But
I know.
You know, at least there'll be one less dumpster fire. In the world.
Ugh.
Our bar is so low.
Yeah. 2021, one less one dumpster left. Fire. I mean, honestly, that is my bar. That is my bar for 2021. Like, we've got dumpster fire, like many dumpster fires. 2021 is about getting rid of one of them. The most, the maybe not even the biggest one, but one of the dumpster fires. Get rid of that thing. I'm happy that the year has been done. Successful.
Do we need to set up historically if someone's listening to this episode in like as part of an archive as to the status of the world, or do we just not care?
Nah,
it's early 2021. Just Google
it's time stamped. I mean, there is a date associated in the meta for all the episodes.
That works for me.
Yeah,
they'll know fine. Because they're trapped in a weird metal structure listening to a weird FM radio that's replaying old archival podcasts.
You guys,
this is the worst station, guys. Can't we listen to something else?
I just started watching Watchmen. And
is it good?
Oh my God. It is probably not the best thing to watch right now.
Yeah.
But Aaron is out of town, so I'm like binging it. And I'm hoping that I get to the end quickly because I really like I last night I had like so much anxiety going to bed because of this show. It is, so I really love the graphic, the comic book series, The Watchmen. Like it was one of the things actually, I think, in college, I took a class that was on nonlinear, new narrative forms is the name of the class. And one of the things we talked about were comic books, particularly in graphic novel format. And The Watchmen was one of the things that we talked about. That and like V is for Vendetta and From Hell and like just Alan Moore, just in general, like opened my eyes to like so much depth that can be communicated through that medium that I hadn't. I mean, I read comic books and I was really into comic books, but I never like those change. They change the dynamic of the form. And Watchmen is really clever in how it does that because it is, at its heart, a superhero story, but it's also making comments about superhero stories while also talking about the Cold War and also being this like Lovecraftian cosmic horror thing that culminates at the end. And so I love that book. And
I know nothing about it, but that pitch has got my attention.
It's fucking amazing. Just the writing, like Alan Moore as a writer is fantastic. And when you put it in, when he writes for comic books, it's just so, it uses the panels and the way that the medium can communicate story in such a natural way that like you couldn't really imagine this story happening in any other format almost. It's really well done. So I didn't have expectations for the show. I didn't think the show would live up to my expectations because of the comic and because I watched the movie, The Watchmen, that they made many years ago, and that was awful. Do not watch the movie, The Watchmen. It is horrible. But that was sort of what I was expecting. I wanted to watch it. I was interested in it because of my affinity for the book and because I like the story. And even though the movie is awful, I still watched it. All that.
How many episodes are there?
I think like 10 or something. It's not a ton.
I've only seen clips. I've been in the mindset to sit down.
It's really, really good. And what I didn't get from like any of the trailers, any of the information about it, whatever before, was that it's not even really about. So, the point of the book, the comic book, is the idea of who watches the Watchmen. It's this superhero group that becomes so powerful that they kind of start working outside the law and like making decisions that affect millions of people and millions of people's lives. And like because they are super powerful. And so because they're super powerful, nobody can really do anything to stop them. And whether or not they are benevolent is really just like a flip of a coin. Like just because they have these powers and they can do good things doesn't mean that they will do good things. And that was sort of the idea of like, if you put superheroes in a real world scenario, what would those people actually be like? The show has a little bit of that, but it's also about like the aftermath of the things that happen in the book, but it goes much more deeply into white supremacy. So like the whole first half of the series that I've been watching is all about white supremacy. It talks about the Tulsa race riots, the Tulsa race massacre. That's where it starts, is the Tulsa race massacre. And then it goes on from there, and like it's got an amazing, like diverse cast, and all the acting is fantastic. It's got a lot more depth, and there's every once in a while there's like throwbacks to the comic book, but it doesn't feel like you need to like have a really, it doesn't feel like you need to have that as like a prerequisite to enjoying the show. It's like it'll sort of feed you hints. And if you know what the backstory, you can pick up on what it's referencing. But if you don't, I think it's like okay. Like it's still just an element of the story, that something that happened in the past. Because it takes place like in 2019. So it takes place like 30 years after the stuff that's in the book happened anyway. So all of it is sort of distant history anyway. It is really fucking good. And I'm really impressed, and it might give me nightmares.
Oh yeah, I'm out then. I'm at my allotment of nightmares right now. I need a few months before I start adding.
I mean, that was the reason why I hadn't watched, but I've been really, really impressed. It's really, really good. And the fact that it gets deep, so deep into like the white supremacy stuff, and like is really interesting, because there's essentially a group that's sort of like a quasi modern KKK group that is sort of like out in the public, sort of. And it also talks about like there's just so many
how can that, you watch this right now, how are you able to do this?
There's like, so many things that just tie directly
I can like, feel like
happened in the last couple weeks,
my blood pressure like rising just in this conversation right now.
Yeah,
like my muscles tensing up. And
do you have a rave review to like counteract that's like opposite?
Yeah, how about Ted Lasso?
By the way, on my screen,
opposite.
That's gonna be the next thing. That's gonna be my chaser, I think, is when I finish with this, I might binge Ted Lasso.
Yes, I highly recommend it.
Screen, so it's like I have like two sides that are telling me to watch things.
Ted Lasso is an Apple TV Plus series. They offer, I think, a 7-day trial or whatever. I don't know. I don't know. I bumped into Apple TV Plus and someone had mentioned the show and I'm like, yeah, I'll watch it. Cause it was someone that I had a similar sense of humor, and it's not like a deeply, deeply funny show. It's just a show it's good. It's wholesome. There's some scenes where you're like, oh, that sucks. But honestly, like the main character is a person that I like and I very much enjoyed it. There's some great, like American British humor jabs at each other. This is the show that I need right now. Mm. There's not deep thought involved, just real basic human interaction stuff. It's wholesome.
I will say. So we watched The Rookie.
I call it wholesome actually now. Maybe not. I wonder if there's anything in there that people want to be like, this is what he considers wholesome. It's not. I don't.
If they're listening to us, then wholesome is probably different.
Not on the radar.
So we watched The Rookie, and I was before the season of The Rookie, and The Rookie has a Nathan Fillion cop show set in LA.
I thought you said The Wookie for a minute.
Not The Wookie, The like, Rookie.
How did I miss this?
Got really excited.
I mean, mostly we watch it for Nathan Fillion. I mean, it's a good police procedural kind of
fair reason,
kind of comedic drama, like drama with comedy elements because Nathan Fillion is funny, basically. And before the season started, I read a review of the season that interviewed the showrunners that was talking about how they really wanted to address, again, like race issues in the show in a way that was different than how they had done it before, because they also have a fairly diverse cast. But again, it's still like, you know, like after the BLM.
This is what I can watch, maybe?
After the BLM stuff over the summer, they wanted to talk about the all cops are bastards sort of thing. And like it's still at the end of the day, a cop show, which means that the cops are the heroes, and they wanted to show nuance. So they're pushing that this season. And like after two episodes in, I mean, it's not subtle. It's like, it's pretty strongly in your face, this is our agenda that we're doing, in a way that is I mean, like it's very obvious that like it's kind of smacking you in the face with the message, which is occasionally irritating, which is in very much the way that Watchmen is not doing those things. That's why my head went to that. Is like
what network is it streamed on?
It is, I will go to my,
I guess I could just Google it myself as I'm reading about it. I just hope that you have a quick answer.
The Rookie
is Amazon on, Prime.
It's on ABC.
ABC. Oh, but it's not, wait, is it streaming?
I don't know that it's Prime. Actually streaming. It's not how I get
it. No, it's not. It's not, which means it is on Plex, it turns out. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 15 years too late, but I'm watching the US version of The Office.
What do you think?
I love it. It's nice. It's great. It's like low key. I like the characters. It's like chill vibes. Even at the most heightened of drama, I'm like, I've worked in an office. This is fine.
It's chill.
It's more chill than the other things that were described.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Have you looked around?
I mean, in general, yeah. I don't have chill vibes, which is why I just watch people work in an office.
I mean, the reason why I'm watching Watchmen now while Erin is out of town is because she didn't want to watch it because she generally doesn't like superhero movies or shows. Although I did get her to watch Jessica Jones. And Luke Cage, as it turned out. Also because a lot of the stuff that we watch together is stuff that is far more escapist. So the stuff that we've been watching together is like the Korean like soap operas. That's like we have a whole string of Korean soap operas that we've been watching that is far more escapist and very like that is wholesome because that is like kissing is taboo, like getting like within, you know, 5 feet of each other is like cause for like uncomfortable like tension and like sexual tension. It's they are phenomenally cute. They're like things that you could watch with your kids probably. Except they're like really weird like relationship interpersonal things in there, which is always like the same weird interpersonal things. So like I definitely have that side. So that's what I would consider like the wholesome thing. And the reason why like there is a type of humor that basically involves like shitting on each other, that Erin hates and like doesn't like, it makes her uncomfortable to watch. So we don't watch stuff like that. And that was my impression of The Office, was that it was a lot of like people being really horrible to each other, just generally.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, the boss
watched it, but that was my outside inside.
Well, like I think the British version is a lot more like stilted and harsh. And when we made the switch to the US version, it was just like, first of all, the casting really helps because you're just like, Steve Carell is like, you know that the casting helps that situation because you know that's not the guy he is, hopefully, I guess. So the boss is like so tone deaf and makes all sorts of like racial, just so many, but he's like genuinely like loving being the boss, which is just like, just the weird part of it. And then some of the interpersonal stuff, I guess. There's one rivalry between two of the employees where they're constantly just like, I don't know, playing pranks on each other. It's just, but they're like kind of both delusional in their own way. So it's kind of makes sense to me somehow. My other recommendation, if I haven't already made it, is Midnight Gospel, which will either have you think less of me or more of me, I'm not sure. It's animated, but it's taken audio from Duncan Trussell's Family Hour. I don't know. It's a podcast where he interviews a bunch of people. But basically, the audio goes along with the cartoon, the animation, and all sorts of surreal stuff happens. It's basically the
so it's like Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Kind of. And like it's basically like this guy's an intergalactic, he's a podcaster and he goes to different planets and tries to get interviews, but on each planet he has a different avatar that's picked out for him, but his voice remains the same and like just weird stuff happens. And I don't know, it's thoughtful, it's funny, it's good. Anyway, I think there's only like 8 or 10 episodes, but.
I will highly recommend the current K-drama that we're watching, which is Mystic Pop-Up Bar. Hmm. So Mystic Pop-Up Bar, essentially there is this woman who was in love with a prince who...
I like that Gary's taking notes.
There's a woman who is in love with
a prince. I have like 9 tabs of TV shows.
Who is like Wikipedia pages.
What a nerd.
A woman who is in love with a prince, who is able to sort of empathetically, I don't know if she was able to like empathetically solve people's problems through their dreams, I guess, or maybe just was able to solve their problems, or like understand what their problems were and like give them a solution when she was alive.
Oh, I think someone else was telling me about
this. And then her mother was killed by like some raiding party and the whole town was burned and she was sort of rejected by her prince who she was in love with because his father had things, and so she went and out of rage committed suicide in the tree that was like the sacred tree, and so she was cursed to solve 100,000 people's problems in the afterlife, like as an like before she could like return to the world and like be resurrected, be reincarnated or whatever. It's like she was cursed to solve 100,000 people's problems. So the show starts when she's at 999,995 people have been solved. She's almost done. And so the way that she does it, she has this like magical like liquor that she puts in. She gets people to confess their problems. She gives them a magic liquor, which then allows her to jump into their dreams and then like resolves the issue through their dreams. And then when they wake up, it's like done, or like they have a better outlook on life or something.
They've like resolved it internally.
Yeah. So, but it's really interesting because it's like, it's funny, but it's also like really surreal and like fantastical. And there's this character who, like, when he touches people, they immediately want to tell him their problem, which obviously is like the perfect tie-in to like what she does. And so she recruits him, and they go and they like they talk to, like, it gets into a little bit of like Korean mythology, and like death is a character that's just like this happy-go-lucky dude, and yeah, it's pretty entertaining.
One side note, mine's animated, but it's probably not for children. There's like cursing and just weird adult content. Just want to put that
there. Dickinson is the other Apple TV Plus series that's worth watching, and Death is fantastic in that series too.
I would recommend on Apple TV Plus C as well, with Jason Momoa. What was
C?
S-E-E. It's the one, it's in a post-apocalyptic future where everybody is blind. And so that whole thing is really interesting, how like culture is evolved without sight. And then like there's a baby, or there are babies that are born that have sight. And so it's sort of about like the like religious sort of implications and like what that means for the world and what that means for them as like, all sorts of things. It's really good.
Worth noting that none of this, none of these are space shows.
It's true.
Yeah.
So.
Well, actually, wait, mine kind of is.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yours kind of is. Watchmen maybe is, because Dr. Man.
Not in the classic, like, Tom Hanks in a spaceship.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no. Yeah, mm-hmm. Watchmen kind of is, because Dr. Manhattan is on Mars, and... So what? there's a little bit of space. Dr. Manhattan is one of the superheroes. Basically, he walked into some weird experiment and it like blew up all of his particles in his body, and he came out as sort of like this ascended being that can basically do anything he wants. And he was already basically a genius before. So like this sort of like he's a genius with godlike powers.
Wait, though, I feel like that's the funniest origin story, though, because yeah. It's basically like you went into a meeting or something when you weren't supposed to, and you're like super smart, but yet you're like, oh, are you guys, oh no, it's an explosion. Like, I just feel like it's not a good origin story.
I mean, superhero origin stories are by default dumb. I mean, I think the whole point of that particular origin story is because it is so dumb.
Like, oh, I went into a room at the wrong time.
Wow, we didn't even get to a topic, and now we're on to the special after-show party.
I'll save my topic for another time.
Yeah.
This has been Binary Jazz Television Show Reviews. Join us again next week.
Yeah. All right, so I need you both to pick a number between 1 and 4.
3.
2.
Okay, we're going to split the difference and call it 2. All right. This this game is called...
Hold on, let me get my calculator. I didn't realize you were supposed to pick the same number.
I didn't know either.
I totally could have passed that test if you had said that before. I would have said 3.
That is not the game. Hey,
I thought we needed to put
this, this game is called Marvel Superhero, Marvel Character, or Jean-Claude Van Damme Movie.
Ooh.
And so
I have no chance if anybody's
listening, these did come from Critical Role. So if you know Critical Role, then you will know all the answers. But these people that are on the show with me now do not, because they don't watch it. And I'm like 200 episodes in, so you'd have to get really friggin' deep to get this stuff. And I checked like Crit Role stats and like Crit Role transcripts to get like specifically the answers, because I knew that there's things that he did. They're from some of the ad stuff. Anyway.
Like most of them.
Marvel Character or Jean-Claude Van Damme Movie. The Sinister Six.
Marvel.
You're correct.
Hitman. Wait, are you keeping score?
Wait, what was the new one?
I probably should. Let's see. Gary.
Hitman.
And
Van Damme.
Allison. Okay. Yeah, Hitman.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, Van Damme.
You're both wrong. It's a Marvel character.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brawler.
Sounds about right. What?
Brawler.
Marvel.
I'm going to go JCVD.
Oh, damn.
It is. On an initial basis. Brawler is a Marvel character.
Damn.
Time Cop.
I want that to be...
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, you're both correct. That is like that is the only Jean-Claude Van Damme movie I know by title, I think. Century.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, I'm going to double down.
Yeah, I'm with that. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Both incorrect as a Marvel character. JCVD.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Is a Marvel character.
it's a Jean-Claude Van Damme
movie. Okay. I thought this was a trap.
There is a trap, but it comes later. Kickboxer.
Thanks for the heads up. Van Damme.
Van Damme.
Oh, God. Is it?
No, you're both right.
Oh, God.
Bloodsport.
Van Damme.
Yeah, Van Damme.
Okay.
I think I've heard of that, even.
Cyborg.
Van Damme.
Marvel.
It is Van Damme.
Really?
Defender.
Marvel.
Incorrect. The Expendables.
Marvel. I've heard of them. Oh, wait. Yeah, Marvel.
It's Van Damme. I think The Expendables is DC.
Oh, was that the trap?
No, that's not the trap.
That's not even the trap.
I actually pulled out the trap. The trap was a Dolph Lundgren movie, but I pulled that out. The last one, Double Impact.
Van Damme.
It's gotta be Van Damme.
You're both correct. It is Van Damme. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You both got 8 out of however many that was. So you both tied. There's no winner. Okay. Pick a number between 1 and 3. You've got more time.
Are we supposed to both pick the same number again?
No.
1.
What kind of game would it be if you both picked the same? Okay, fine. 1. all right. This one is called. This
one got called, so thrown by Split the Difference, and then the difference between 3 and 2
is 2. I had survivor's guilt, Chris. It was
in D&D when you make a roll and it's like a 1d2 or something, and you roll a 3. If it's in between things, you round down. All right. So this one is called Magic: The Gathering Card, or
not? In fact, Splitting the Difference.
Wait, or what?
Magic: The Gathering Card or Kama Sutra Position.
Oh God. Oh no. Okay.
Ready? Okay. Black Lotus. Wait, hold on. I need to get the
You need to get the answers though. Chris's Google searches lately have been
All right, Black Lotus.
Magic.
Kama Sutra.
It is a Magic: The Gathering card. She-Wolf.
Magic Gathering.
What'd you say, Gary?
Magic.
You're both incorrect. It is Kama Sutra. Lone Wolf.
Well, obviously Kama Sutra.
I'm magic.
That is correct. It is a Magic the Gathering card.
I feel like Lone Wolf is the saddest.
Yeah, the Lone Wolf would be the saddest.
As soon as I said it, I'm like, oh. Yikes.
Illicit auction.
Magic.
I'm going to go Kama Sutra. I'm gonna just going to go that route for most of them, I think.
That one is a Magic the Gathering card. The Curled Angel.
Kama Sutra.
Yeah, Kama Sutra.
That is Kama Sutra. The Mud Hole.
The what?
The Mud Hole.
Oh, I hope it's magic.
I hope it's magic too.
Excavation.
Wait. Magic. What was the last one? Was the last one magic?
Mud Hole is magic, yeah.
Okay. I didn't hear the answer and I'm like.
No, sorry. You were both right. The Excavation.
Magic.
Kama Sutra.
You're both right. It's both.
Forgive me for not being so excited.
I'll give you both half points for that because you're half right. And Gary wins with 4 that time. Allison, you got 3 correct.
How did I get 1 half point and it comes up to 4?
Okay, 4
Your
and
math
a half.
Is really
4.5 versus 3.5. You know what I mean. All right, we've got 2 minutes left. We could probably do another one. We'll save that one. Okay, this one is a bunch of weird things. Maybe we'll be able to do it in 2 minutes.
Unlike the previous two.
Well, this one doesn't have a single theme. So this one, each one is either a D&D familiar or something else. And it's the something else is different for each question. So the first one of these things is actually a board game. The other 3 are D&D familiars. Which is the board game and not a familiar? Is it
sure.
A, Boggle, B, Dweeblex, C, Pudding King, or D, Unstable Unicorns?
Boggle.
Well, Boggle.
Unstable Unicorns is a board game and not a familiar.
Okay.
I've
played Boggle, though. That's all I'm saying.
3 of these are D&D familiars. One of them is a real West Hollywood bar.
Oh.
You need to pick the West Hollywood bar.
Okay.
Is it the Naughty Pig, the Man Trap, the Steel Predator, or the Cockatrice?
The Man Trap.
Yeah. I feel like that's the right answer.
The Naughty Pig is, according to my sources, the correct answer.
But does that eliminate there being a bar called the Man
Trap? I'm pretty sure there's going to be.
There's probably a bar called the Man Trap, but it might not be in West Hollywood. All right. One of these is an Australian candy. The other 3 are D&D familiars. Which is the Australian candy? Is it a Nalfashni? A musk stick, ochre jelly, or veg-a-pygmy?
Ochre jelly.
Veg-a-pygmy.
Veg-a-pygmy is correct. That is the Australian candy.
Oh, that sounds disgusting.
And oh, ochre jelly sounded great.
I was thinking of Vegemite, so I was like, they're on this. This is a thing.
Okay, sort of throwback to our earlier theme. One of these is a Kama Sutra position. The other 3 are D&D beasts. Which is the Kama Sutra position? Is it the flying snake, the curled flower, the stench cow, or the corpse flower?
The curled flower.
Wait, what was the...
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.